broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. We've got a two-hour, absolute, in my opinion, broadcast that ought to go viral. The first hour, Sam went off on a monologue, yours truly, if you will. The war that was waged in heaven continues, and the best part, we are winning, ladies and gentlemen. It is waged by an army of missionaries on all sides. It is waged in our own lives, day in and day out, in our homes, in our work, in our schools, in our associations, everywhere we go. It is waged over questions of love and respect, loyalty and fidelity, obedience and integrity. We are all involved in it. There's no way to escape it. Where do you stand? The epic battle is on. It started before this world began, and it will continue. Each of us, ladies and gentlemen, are involved, and we are winning. When I say we, who's on the Lord's side? Who? Now is the time to show. In this work, there must be commitment. There must be devotion. Devotion to who? To what? To God Almighty. To his son, Jesus Christ, the author of our liberty. The battle's on. And what I'm afraid we do is we fall for this false satanic narrative. All right? And this battle is epic. The problem, Operation Divide and Destroy, has been going on for centuries, for millennia, by Satan. To divide on every fault line possible. The goal, to divide and conquer. Satan-backed focus on division, if you will. The goal is to separate us from our history and our godly heritage as the sons and daughters of God. That's the real battle. That's the real war, if you will. And these battles, along the way, we get so down in the dirt, so down in the weeds, so that it's hard to see the forest through the trees, if you will. We sit and we go, man, my cause is just. Well, it may be. But are you going about your cause the right way? Are you following the Prince of Peace for your example, for your guidance, for your direction? He lived a life that ended in death to make his point. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't need repentance, but we do if we're going to follow him. So forgiveness and prayer are the two literal acts that he let them murder him over. But he came back to life and said, repent and come follow me. I submit to you, that's the epic takeaway in this eternal battle that has application for you and me. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Now it's time to apply the principles that I've been talking about last hour. LibertyRoundtable.com, a few minutes after the show, it'll be up. You can listen to it if you missed it. You got to have that for the context. But I submit to you that we talk about that in the framework that I've set, and we talk about all these battles, this current weekend included, with the solutions in mind, which I'll get to, but I alluded to them already. It starts with repentance and forgiveness and prayer. It starts with following the Prince of Peace and using God's fundamental unit of society as the framework to do so. And then we'll get into he who owns the media makes the rules and how we could best participate in solutions to counter this epic battle that seems to have no winners. If you ignore my point, welcome to the broadcast, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, well-known talk host in his own right, author and more. He's a guest on Liberty Roundtable Live, or I consider him more of a co-host, if you will. Welcome back, sir.
Sam, it's great to be with you. You know, we're normally together the third Wednesday of every month, but I was excited to have received your invitation to join you today on a very special broadcast. Of course, what happened in Charlottesville on Saturday, and with the fallout throughout the weekend, the fallout, by the way, which will be massive and will have wide-ranging ramifications. We haven't even gotten into that phase. For all intents and purposes, we're still in Charlottesville. The next week is going to be very interesting as all of this continues to play out. But, of course, we were very much consumed by that news this weekend. We sent, of course, former Vietnam combat medic, my co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, to Charlottesville to report on that event for my audience on this network on Saturday night. And we had many eyewitnesses on the show Saturday night who were there. But I say all that to say this, out of all of the coverage that, we provided, all of the news, this is, in fact, the biggest news story in the world. This news story actually eclipsed the story of North Korea and all of the other things that the establishment controlled press was talking about. But in all of that coverage, Sam, not one of them hit anywhere close, ourselves included, to the points you made in your first hour. Very unique commentary indeed, and much needed.
Just like the Ten Commandments provide guidance by God, the Ten Gazillion Commandments provide force by government. I submit to you that God says there's one battle line, that is the epic eternal war that was started in heaven between God and Satan. We're in the middle. Which side will we be on? I submit to you, they want you to believe there's a fault line everywhere. I submit to you, there's only one fault line, sir.
As I said, your coverage in that first hour was unlike anything that has been touched on by all of the media outlets out there. And it got me to originally, and there's Eddie the Vomiter Miller trying to call in right now on my cell phone. Originally, of course, this whole rally came to be because of the cultural genocide that's taking place across the South. But certainly in Charlottesville as well, where they were trying to take down the monument from perhaps the greatest American who ever lived, certainly one of the most Christ-like Americans who ever lived, General Robert E. Lee. That is what started this whole event. And thinking about that, in light of your first hour, I wish that everybody in Charlottesville had marched in to that town. I do believe in the necessity of holding rallies and public demonstrations. That's part of our heritage and rights here as Americans. But I wish that all of those people had walked in with either a Bible or a Christian flag in hand, because that's what Robert E. Lee was. Yes, he fought for the Confederacy. A Confederate flag is a Christian flag, too, the cross of St. Andrews. But that should have been the focal point of the so-called...
And now what they're trying to do is create another fault line. They're trying to use the word white, followed by either supremacist or white nationalist or whatever word they want to, whatever label they want to add to that. They're trying to say, well, the Christians should now reject the whites. And so now you got basically a white Christian divide fault line going on. It's been mentioned before in passing on occasion, but now that narrative is going to take wings, divide the quote whites from the Christians. I don't know that that's possible, but there you go.
Well, that's been going on a long time. I mean, we've been part of that. I was born and raised in the church. I've been a Christian for nearly all my life. I accepted Christ at a very early age, and even my own church, not my personal church and my small congregation with my pastor who's been a friend of mine since birth. But yeah, I mean, even my denomination has completely sold out to the forces of political correctness. So that they absolutely have turned almost all church leadership, at least, if not the congregants in the pews, the church leadership against whites who would not go along with the narrative of the establishment.
Now, on one hand, we want to avoid the labels because the second you use white, again, if you use it derogatorily, in other words, the word after it is derogatory, then you're on, they claim, the right side. If you use it favorably, then you're on the wrong side. And again, there's no way to win as long as we accept their label-based narrative where there's no winners. There's only divide and conquer. Kirk Crosby, I want to add you to the conversation. What do you think of my last hour narrative? I submit to you that we need to look at this thing from a big picture, from a Christian history view. We cannot look at this in each battle. We cannot look at this in that our cause is just without thinking about our actions and our responsibilities that are equal to our rights. We cannot ignore these principles or we simply lose the moral high ground. Kurt?
Well, you know, I know it doesn't sound like a lot of things to talk about when you say there's good and bad in the world. People want more, you know, detail or something like that, but it's just that way, ladies and gentlemen. There's good guys and bad guys. They might be one color or another color. They could be multiple colors. And what you've got here is you've got the author of Liberty. That's the God of heaven, you know, and you've got the author of Force and basically... not liberty, just captivity and that kind of thing. They're just battling it out. And what we've got to do is find out, hey, where do we lie? And many times some of the efforts we make are well, mistaken, in that we might be tricked into a certain move or something, but we've got to be careful and repent on an ongoing basis and try to do better, always remembering who our real leader is.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, what I want to talk about is, with my first hour monologue and with these principles we're talking about now, what ought we be doing and how do we affect true education, focusing on the real only fault line, which is between God and Satan, the eternal war in heaven continued on earth, and how do we advocate for what's good and right and honorable, and what ought we be spending our time, our efforts, our money doing, huh?
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What, what are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The epic war continues. There's no doubt about that, folks. That's beyond debate now. I can start by talking about the police not maintaining order and that many people got hurt. That's a fact. I can talk about the extreme media not showing who instigated most of the violence. I can talk about the fact that the Unite the Right rally turned out to be a setup, an intentional rout. I can talk about the media and the government is silent about the liberal organization called Antifa, and how they were involved, and hey, they're just calling them this vague group called the counter-protesters, but these groups are evil, folks. I can talk about all that, and I'd be right for doing so. Okay? I can talk about the different issues involved. For example, they declared it an unlawful assembly at Emancipation Park. However, I can talk about certain groups got permits. And the court said those permits will stand. And the government undermined the very courts that said those permits will stand. I can talk about all those things. And I would be right. And I can talk about intent. For example, the way they create literally a kill box and brought a lot of people into that kill box intentionally where there was no way to win, no way to avoid violence. I can talk about that it's self-defense in some cases. I can talk about all kinds of things. I can talk about the fact that cops spoke on bullhorns, directing people to leave before it ever even started, that they never even set up the speakers system to allow the speakers to speak. I could talk about this unlawful assembly, which they call as a legal term, used to focus on this idea that there's a mutual intent to deliberate disturbance of the peace. And I can debate whether that's legitimate or not. But there are agitators on all sides that I submit are driven by Satan that are trying to taint the whole argument. And if you, in an effort of solidarity to defend everybody and everything with your, quote, group, you've missed the mark because there's betrayers amongst you, I promise you. All right? Where do we go from there? Where do we go from here? What do we do? What are the solutions? I could talk about whether we believe the statue should be removed or not. I believe Robert E. Lee was a God-fearing gentleman and the statue should not be removed. Okay? It's a historical reality. But I think paid thugs on all sides provoked a violent response. The media, of course, will blame the right. The media will literally move to domestic terrorism. That's the narrative that I've talked about that Glenn Beck and many others have pushed for a long time. I can go into every bit of that and be right as rain. I'm going to say that again. Completely spot on right. But if we're not very careful, ladies and gentlemen, we will defend our rights and be right, but we'll miss the boat. We cannot learn from history if we destroy it, folks. That cause is just. That cause is right. But the question becomes, what are the solutions and what can we do better next time to not fall into Satan's trap and unwittingly eventually carry out his divide and conquer tactics? How do we make sure that we aren't part of the mutual destruction intended by design from Satan? How do we do that? How do we best spend our money and our time and our efforts in a way that would be productive and solutions-oriented? How do we be faithful? How do we be valiant? How do we have the courage to be true to the trust God has placed in each of us? How do we do that? How do we prevent the Operation Divide and Destroy plan of Satan? All right, with that in mind, I've got a lot of ideas. I've alluded to some of them. It starts with following the Prince of Peace, his epic example on the cross I would hold up as the solution, one of the greatest solutions, which is forgiveness and prayer. That's what the Savior, Jesus Christ, did when he was on the cross. That was his final acts. How do we start with that? And I submit to you that we all need to start with our own cleansing our inner vessel. We need to start with our own hearts and our own minds. And we really need to realize with rights come responsibility, where are we in this? And we need to clean our own house and then start with our families. It starts there in my mind. But there's a lot more we can do. Kirk Crosby, James Edwards in the round table for thought-provoking discussions, to say the least. Is there anybody anywhere bringing up even a pittance of what I'm talking about, gentlemen? Anybody?
Go ahead, James.
I haven't seen them yet, Sam, and I appreciate you trying to shift the focus onto the eternal level, our spiritual level, our relationship with our Savior and our Creator. However, on this earth that he gave us, the other issues that you mentioned, all of which are completely valid and should be discussed and, in fact, are being discussed, it seems as though certainly there is an establishment media. Now, when you're talking about a rally like this and all of the violence that occurred, most of the violence, by the way, coming, of course, from the opposition to those who had the permit at that park. I don't know if people realize that or not, because
they don't realize it because he who owns the media makes the rules. The narrative is taken up. Even the conservative media is all in bed with that agenda.
Voice. Well, yes, Sam, and they're speaking with a single voice on a rally like this. You would think, well, surely there must be two sides. When the entire media speaks with a single voice and they're all in agreement on who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, you know something's wrong. And so certainly the alternative media, which is increasingly taking center stage, thanks to people like you, Sam, we're offering a different perspective. And those should be those should be discussed. Those are important. So nothing is more important than what you focused on this show. But everything else that you mentioned earlier about the permit, about the police response, about the federal injunction, all of that needs to be discussed as well. It's not as important as what you're talking about, but certainly these are things that we have to deal with in this temporal realm.
I agree, and I'm not suggesting we shouldn't talk about those points that you make. We should, but we need to do it with the framework, if you will, that I'm discussing. So it sounds to me like if the American people are going to get the truth, okay, if they're going to get the truth as opposed to error, then it starts with Americans realizing that, you know what, going to a rally and getting beat up and then having a lie told about us isn't the answer. Not that it's not right and good to stand up for truth and stand up for our beliefs and stop the destruction of our history. Those are all good things, and I don't mean to in any way suggest those aren't important. What I'm telling you, though, is this. Until we get control of the media, folks, to at least have our side heard, we're cooked, James.
Yep.
We're cooked.
That's a great point. That's a great point, but I would, and I agree, and I would say certainly our people need to ask for God's grace and God's help and the things that we do, but God also is not a cosmic butler. God wants us to petition him for assistance and guidance, but at the same time, he wants us to go out and do things for ourselves. None of the things. George Washington wouldn't have led the Revolutionary, wouldn't have won our war for independence had it not been for his constant appeal to his maker for victory and for going out and fighting the battle. God wants us to fight these battles. And so I know we're going to get into the cost of this rally. Was it worth it? The financial cost, the cost in terms of the abuse and all of that other thing. But yeah, I think certainly, yes, we have to be, in addition to prayer, in addition to all of the petitions that we can make to our government, our people have to be out there on the streets. And so
we've got to take action. There's no doubt about it.
Find any black that would say it wasn't worth the time, money, and effort for us to go out and march and organize and rally and demonstrate in the 60s. You won't find one.
And I'm coming back and saying I don't disagree that we've got to take action. The question is that I submit to you that all actions are not equal. Some actions are greater at holding the moral high ground than others. Some actions are not wise, even though we may be right. They may not be the smart move. Winning an argument with your wife sometimes, even if you're right, isn't the win you want because you'll lose in a bigger way. You'll lose trust and faith and love and respect and appreciation and all those things that are sacrificed down that altar that you were right and you won. And by golly, you deserve to win because you were right. See, and we get in this righteous indignation oftentimes that doesn't serve us well. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do nothing. And I'm not suggesting that we cower from the fight in any way. And I think James nailed it. But I want to use the framework we've talked about in the first hour and the beginning of the second hour to then apply what do we do? How do we go about it? How do we take action in a way that's meaningful and productive and rights and responsibility oriented and following the Prince of Peace, but yet not be soft and equivocate and lose? How do we win? Fair questions, don't you think?
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. You may have heard the reports about State Department employees working in Cuba who had to go back to the U.S. for treatment because of hearing problems. Now there has come information that two diplomats assigned to the Canadian government say the same thing happened to them. The State Department had stated that there was an ongoing investigation, apparently looking into the possibility of what are called acoustic attacks. They could be the work of third parties connected to another embassy, such as Iran, North Korea, or Russia. The dictator of Venezuela continues his bloody crackdown, speeding up, going against anyone opposed to his regime. Many opposition mayors now are under investigation by the government, several arrested, two sent to jail. The legally elected National Assembly that is controlled by members of the opposition has been dissolved. As you may have heard, it's been replaced by what is called a constituent assembly, made up entirely of the dictator's supporters. Anyone in the opposition who wants to run in the election must have a good conduct rating. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's just think about one simple word. We hear it quite a lot. The word is superpower. Now, you, at least we've all been trained to know that when they say the word superpower, they mean, well, it's either the United States, maybe China, and or Russia. Yeah, it's almost anybody with a nuclear bomb. You know, it can be in the groups, fancy group called superpowers. But I would submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's somebody with, well, even more power than superpowers, and that's the God of heaven, as the founding fathers called him, the creator, whatever. You know, and for those who've of you, maybe, or your friends who might think, hey, it's kind of silly to spend time on this issue. Let's go to work on something that really can make a difference. Ask yourself why the founding fathers, ask yourself why, you know, even the founding father, you know, the greatest one, George Washington, would continually bend a knee, would continually rely on the God of heaven, so that he was protected, so that he did do what he should do. You know, we know that it's politically incorrect to bring up these issues, to talk about this so openly on the air. You will not find this kind of talk from, you're going to get a morsel of it occasionally from the big talkers, but their handlers will simply tell them, hey, we need to focus on other issues, other things, and so they never really get there. These are not politically correct ideas, and yet they are religiously, and what we would say is they are really correct. They're the correct way to go about it.
James, you want to chime in?
Well, again, I appreciate Kurt's commentary. This is, I have often been by the press, and it's not disingenuous. I've often been connected to what is being presented now as the alt-right. I know a lot of the people there who have, you know, are in leadership positions, I guess, of this loose-knit group. Many of these people are friends of mine. Many of these people are on the show very often, on my program, I should say. But the things that I talk about on my show, I was talking about in 2004 when we first went on the air, and I've been talking about it ever since. So if I am, in fact, all right, and I would say there's certainly a ton of overlap, I will not dispute that one bit. And I'm proud to call many of these people brothers and proud to take part in their company. Because I know the truth, and I know the truth because of my personal experience with these individuals. I can't speak for the mindset of everybody that was in Charlottesville. You have thousands of people there. I'm sure you're going to have a few people that you wouldn't invite to your home. And we don't know all the details about the person who was driving that car. But
well, and that's kind of my point. No one knows anything about this guy that drove the car. That's what I submit to you, that Satan has supplanted or planted activists in the midst to paint the extreme, and the media is falling for the lies. We got to stand with the truth,
well,
and the truth is that...
Sam. Well, and there were even other camera angles today that suggested that his car was being pelted with objects, and that's why he pushed the gas. No one knows for sure. All we know is what the press is telling us, and if you want to know what to believe, you should almost universally believe the opposite of whatever the establishment media is presenting. But I say all that to say this. My point of contention with the alt-right, and I've been very clear about this, that you can have a point of contention with friends. You can have points of contentions and disagreements with family. Sam, maybe one day the day will come where even you and I disagree on something, but and you can still maintain wonderful relations and still work with them and still take their part when the shooting starts, rhetorically speaking, and close ranks and work to support one another. But one of my problems with the alt-right is that it hasn't been it's not seen as a Christian-based movement, and I think that in order for our people to succeed, we are going to have Jesus Christ behind us. And so, as a Christian and someone who is also a pro-white activist, I see that as very important. That's one of my problems with the alt-right. But hey, so what? You know, that we'll still work together on areas of agreement, as I would do with anyone. But this goes back to you asked me. My response to Kurt, I think Kurt's right. I think you're right. This is something that anybody who is seeking for truth and anybody who's seeking to make this world a better place, they need to make sure it's in line with biblical and Christian principles.
Now, let me throw out some examples to make my point. I believe, and I've taught for a long time, he who owns the media makes the rules. And boy, are we seeing this. Besides Sam Bushman, James Edwards, and a couple of others that you can count on one hand, the media, even the, quote, Christian, quote, conservative media, they're all on the same talking point narrative. They might have a slight difference in the way they go about it. Okay, for example, you got Donald not really picking sides, just saying, hey, we reject violence everywhere. But then you got, several of the members of Donald's cabinet that are saying, oh, we really reject the whites or this and that. You got Ivanka Trump, you know, now at odds with her father. You've got all these different things going on. But Jeff Sessions now taking a tougher stance than, say, Donald. The vice president, Mike Pence, taking a tougher stance than the Donald. The Donald not wanting to alienate people. When you stand in the middle of the road, though, you're going to get hit by traffic going both directions. Donald, remember, we warned you. All I'm telling you is that everywhere you go here, I submit to you that we need to take back the media. Because if we don't, and when I say take back, I mean make sure that our side gets the information to the American people. And I don't mean a limited number of people that go seek it out. I mean broadly delivered to the American people. If we don't do that, we have no ability to bring forward the truth. And if we have no ability to bring forward the truth, people can't understand the truth. So if let's say that I'm not educated and I hear that some white supremacist drove a car into a crowd, of course I'm against that, James. And so are you, right?
Well, of course. And if you believe that narrative, and that, you know, look.
And that's the problem, is that narrative, though, determines what the people think and how they behave.
Well, if again, if you don't know how the media works, and you are like so many people in this country, you're just sort of listless and you're not really tuned in, you're not really educated, and you say white supremacists murders someone with his car, of course you're going to be opposed to that. You're going to be appalled, and you're going to condemn everybody who was at that rally. That's, of course, what the media wants you to do. And it may be that case. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it may be that case with this guy. We'll wait until the facts come out. And, of course, even then, the facts are going to be hard to distinguish from the lies and the deceit. But I can just tell you that things are certainly not always as they seem, and we shouldn't rush to judgment. But I told people days ago that I did a preview show on a TV program, and I said that I will tell you exactly how the media is going to report this. This was about a week in advance of what happened on Saturday, and it was almost word for word. I said, these stories have already been written. I said, if there is one person there that causes violence, if there's one person there guilty of violence, that is the only thing they're going to focus on, and 100% of it is going to be put at the feet of the blah, 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 white supremacist Nazis, all of these terms they use to describe people that they hate. And at the same time, again, you're talking about the blame game, Sam, and rightly so, but this whole thing, if you look at the timeline of what happened, the permit, the court order, when the state of emergency was declared, the fact that they declared an unlawful assembly before the rally ever even started, and then fed these people who were there to support the monument into this crowd of rabble who were throwing feces and urine and bricks. So there was a guy there with a flamethrower. We interviewed over a dozen participants who were violently assaulted at this rally, and there's no responsibility there for that. This was a step from the word go, and the full intentions of the Charlottesville Police Department, the Charlottesville mayor, vice mayor, governor, Virginia Terry McAuliffe, was to turn this into a violent rally, and they got what they wanted.
I agree 1,000%, and I'm not in any way saying that we shouldn't cover that reality. All I'm telling you is that you and I and the five other people that are talking about the truth, relatively speaking, we have no audience. And so I appreciate that we're doing this, and I think we should continue to do it. By no means is this an idea to say we shouldn't do it. What I'm saying to you, though, is we need to get those who put however much money into this rally. I don't know what it costs to pull off a rally like that. But even to get one, if me and Kurt and you were to go, how much would it cost us just to get there and participate and cover it, for example?
Let's talk about that when we come back.
Hold on, folks, because this is critical about what we ought to be spending our time on, okay?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so I'm submitting to you not that we should back away from the discussions. I'm not suggesting we should back away from the fight. I'm not suggesting we should not take action. I'm merely suggesting in the framework of the eternal war waged in heaven, this being part thereof, how ought we go about our efforts? What can we do to be part of the solutions? And I'm submitting to you that realizing that family is the fundamental unit of society, and it starts there, number one. Number two, realizing that the principles that the Savior taught on the cross before he gave up his life and was resurrected and said, come follow me, he said, forgive them. He prayed to his Father in heaven. Those were the two acts of forgiveness and prayer that he was in when he died, when he willingly gave up his life. And then he teaches us to repent. He has no need of repentance, but we do, and to follow him. So that's what I want to do. Repent, pray, forgive, and follow him. And how do I do that but yet make a difference? And I submit to you that in addition to family, in addition to our own personal lives, in a reach out on the streets, on the ground effort, I submit to you that the new media needs to take center stage. We can teach these principles and educate for the preservation of our history, our people, our circumstances, but we can only do it in the context of the influence we may have. And I'm telling you that our influence is growing, and I commend everyone for the involvement in that, but it's not big enough. Right now, they're thinking that a white supremacist, a Nazi KKK guy literally got in a car and killed everybody, and by golly, that's the takeaway. And so now all the white people are terrorists. That's the lie being told, really, without exception in the media. James?
Well, again, yeah, that's 100% right. And I say, had it not been for the conspiracy to shut down this rally, violate a federal court order. Yeah, all of this was planned well in advance. Everybody, the organizers, I should say, of the Unite the Right rally went through the system perfectly legally. The law was on their side. The state of Virginia colluded to deny them their right to a peaceful protest and allow the people who were there, the so-called counter-demonstrators, to hurl all sorts of abuse and physical violence against them. It is amazing to me, Sam, that only one person died from this. I don't say that flippantly. The loss of life is tragic, and of course they are going to put that in front of you, and that's, as you said, is the takeaway that the establishment wants you to know about. But it wouldn't have happened at all had the Charlottesville police and the Virginia State Troopers done their job. I think they would have done their job. I'm not even putting this at the feet of the police. It gets back to, well, just following orders, sir. You know, that's the excuse for everybody when something goes wrong, I guess. But certainly the mayor of Charlottesville and the governor of Virginia, I think the blood is on their hands. If, as Kennedy said, if you make peaceful protest impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable.
And I think that's a fact. So how much would it have cost? Let's say that Sam, James, and Kurt were willing to go and be very frugal but appropriate to literally go to this event and cover it. How much would it have cost us to do so?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll give you a fine example of how much. As you know, we dispatched my longtime co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, former Vietnam veteran, two tours as a combat medic. We sent him to Virginia in his capacity as a representative of our show with press credentials to this event. And we did it as cheap as possible. And by as cheap as possible, we sent Eddie in a carpool. He drove to Nashville and then hitched a ride with other people. He shared a room. And I mean, we pared it down to the most minimum expense we could possibly get away with and still have him there on the ground for 2 days to report live from the scene for our audience on Saturday night. And we still spend every bit of $500. Now, that is scrimping and scraping. So for
all right, now that's a bottom number. That's a bottom number by putting somebody close to within driving distance by, you know, sharing a room. Now, if you were to fly Sam, James, and get real equipment on the scene and Kurt and everything else, I'm telling you, we've done other events that have cost us between $5,000 and $7,000, right?
Yeah, just to think about that. Yeah, just to go to the inauguration, just to go to the Republican National Convention, where me, you, and Kurt broadcasted live for this network and our respective shows, two major events. I mean, these were events that, as a news organization, we should have been at, and certainly we were at. But you're looking at, over $5,000, and even that's very cheap to consider.
All right, now I bring all that up just to say that I don't know how much this rally costs, but I'm telling you right now that if we have $250,000 a year, we could literally run Liberty News Radio, which includes my show and your show, which includes a Liberty News Daily around-the-clock news service, which includes all kinds of things. We could run that and be doing well with $250,000 a year. I submit to you that rally probably costs $250,000 to pull off at the least.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. I don't know how much Jason Kessler, who was the event organizer, he's the one who pulled the permit. He was the point man. He was the one who invited the other speakers who were supposed who were going to give a speech until the state of Virginia called it an unlawful. You know, it's interesting. In any other case, Sam, I just as a quick aside, and I'll get back to your point. Any time a federal judge makes a ruling, how many times have we seen state government, the president, everyone? If a judge signs something, by God, that is God's holy word. It doesn't matter what the law is. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter. Whatever a judge says, that is it. That is the final. That is the final answer. Well, in this case, you actually had a judge who upheld the rule of law, upheld the Constitution, upheld everything that we believe to be true, and he signed the order in favor of those who had taken out the permit. And in this case, all of a sudden, the state government grows a pair, and or at least in their mind, in violation of the Constitution, but they have the cojones now to violate a court order. Isn't that interesting? But if you're looking at, so I don't know what the total cost is that the state put in and some of the police overtime and all of that. I don't think there was a lot of cost in terms of Jason Kessler. He pulled the permit. I mean, there wasn't a lot to do. There was some speaking equipment that they didn't get to use, and you know, the park is a public space, so that was free. But if you just factor in the cost of the, there were
but you got to talk about how much did it cost to have all the cops there.
Well, that would have been a cost coming out of the state, the taxpayer budget. But if you just look at the travel cost of all of the participants, I mean, you're probably looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions.
Yep, and if you look at the government side where we cost the taxpayers by that assembly, et cetera, else, I'm just saying, what if we had a virtual rally? Number one, the only way they'd be able to shut it down is to shut the media down. We could have had all of our speakers speak. We could add killer audio and video. We could have archived it for millions and millions and millions to see if we would have spent that money on advertising and promoting it, and a new media entity would have been born instantly. Okay, we could do all these things. We wouldn't have got as much coverage from the mainstream press, but it would be hard to make it negative coverage. And all I'm telling you is when I look at this thing, I'm not talking about we shouldn't fight. I'm talking about how we go about our efforts, and I'm submitting to you that we go about it all wrong. What do you think, Kurt? You want to add to this?
Yeah, go, Kurt.
Well, it's a little bit like, we've seen this over the years, how people just really get all worried about the level of, what's the phrase, when people steal stuff in a store? There's a word for it. But anyway, it's a dangerous thing, and people steal things, and stores have a lot of losses. Well, now with online purchases, you pretty much eliminate shoplifting is the phrase, sorry. You pretty much have eliminated shoplifting if you go this way. And like Sam says, imagine if we had this kind of event or any other kind, and they were done, via the media that way, online, that kind of deal. You know, you could eliminate a lot of expense and make it so a lot more people could participate. I mean, I'm there about the whole he who owns the media makes the rules and the importance of participating in this kind of thing.
Now, here's what I find fascinating about this. We're going to have this rally. We're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars traveling to the event, not to mention all the costs that it really takes to pull off, and I don't even know, but I'm telling you, to the taxpayers, to the whole bit. And then this has turned into an absolute rout of good, honest, moral people with a legitimate agenda, turning them into, quote, terrorists by virtue of they control the media, they make the rules, they decide the labels and how it all goes down. The average American, too ignorant to really catch up what's happening. I submit to you that while that's happening, we're literally about to shut down pieces of good new media organizations because there's no money. James?
Well, yeah, Sam, I got to say this, and I appreciate you tossing it back to me. There should be no scrimping with regards to building a truth-telling, keyword, alternative media to the controlled establishment that brokers are nothing but lies. And again, you consider our careers, Sam, I would say that the media treatment applied to Charlottesville has been the most vile and dishonest that I've ever seen. I'd like people to let that sink in.
And by the way, I agree with that. And that's my whole point to where I agree that the rally is important. I agree standing up is important. I agree standing for our history is important. But I'm telling you, if we don't even have enough ability to make sure that people understand what we're advocating for, what good does it do?
You shouldn't have to pick between one or another. There should be enough in the pot to build the media and still have...
That's the whole point. Let's build the media, make sure we can tell the story, and then let's tell it.
You have to have on the ground demonstrations, though. I mean, of course, this turned in...
Yeah, so let me say it again. Let's build the media so we can tell the story, and then let's tell it. The problem is we're telling the story without any ability to tell it.
Well, that's what we're having... Yeah, I see what you're saying, and it shouldn't be where you have to choose one or the other, but I think certainly nothing's ever going to change unless people do take their activism into the streets and into the public square. We need to have a media. We need to have people on the ground. We need all of these things working in cooperation and concert with one another. And, of course, we don't really know if it would have been worth it. Certainly, the way it turned out, it wasn't worth it to apply all of those resources because the government orchestrated that to be a melee and a riot.
But we had several warning signs, though. One, we knew there'd be violence there. Two, the second we got there, we saw the kill box being set up. We should have aborted. We should have planned differently. And I'm not here to attack anybody or criticize anybody, but I'm saying until we have an apparatus to tell the truth of what really happened and who the violent people are, there's no way we're going to hold anybody accountable and we're never going to see a different outcome.
It's a good takeaway, something for people to ponder until you come back tomorrow, Sam.
Final comment, Kurt, is yours.
God bless America.
And God bless those who are doing their best to make a difference in America. And I don't mean to down anybody. I'm saying that we need to use stratagem. And I'm saying that we need to make sure that we put our money where our mouths are. And I'm saying we need to be absolutely calculating and deliberate about what we do for the greatest maximum output to advocate for our cause. I stand with Christ. That's whose side I'm on. This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Thanks, everybody.